This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Western Female Seminary, which opened its doors in 1855, later became Western College for Women, the first college in the country to have an artist in residence. Western attracted national attention when it hosted civil rights training for Freedom Summer in 1964. In 1974, the college became part of Miami University in Oxford. Jacqueline Johnson, the Western College archivist at Miami University, joins me on the phone to discuss her book, Western College for Women. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And Jackie Johnson's joining us on the phone. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Marianne.
Certainly glad to have you with us today. The Western College for Women book is part of the Arcadia series, of all of the books about historic events in and around the country. Why don't you start us telling a little bit about the beginning of the Western College for Women, which actually wasn't called the Western College for Women initially.
Well, no, it was actually called Western Female Seminary, and it was founded in 1854 by Daniel and Mary Tenney. And Daniel Tenney was the pastor of the Second Presbyterian Church in Oxford, Ohio. And he and his wife, Mary, just had the vision that they wanted to found a seminary in the western part of the United States. And so Western began.
And the school itself was sort of breaking new ground. It was not that common to have a seminary for women at that time. Is that right?
It wasn't common. It wasn't common in this part of the United States. And it was interesting because Daniel Tenney was a Presbyterian pastor, a minister of a local church in Oxford, and he just had the vision. He was a visionary. He thought, you know, he wanted to have a seminary. He and his wife consulted and I'm sure prayed about it, and they just wanted to do this so they can have something for women in this area.
Now, it started out as a potato patch, right? It was a farmer's field?
Yes, you're exactly right. It did start as a potato patch. Very interesting. Yes, that's right.
And the work that was done there, the women did mission work, actually. And I was surprised to read we're in Asia and the Middle East, along with what I think you described as the Wild West of the United States. Tell us about that.
Well, yes. Well, they did mission work. The women were, you know, they were mostly the daughters of ministers and very religious. It was a seminary, of course. And as we all know, seminaries prepare people for ministry. And so they would come to Oxford at Western, and they would get their education. And they would leave, and these women would go all around the world, Iran, Persia, China, Korea, Mexico, Turkey, Laos, and India. And there's an interesting picture in the book of Mary Hesser. And she is featured, and there's a picture of her with her students in Japan in 1882. So, yes, they would do that.
That seems sort of unusual for the time, isn't it, for women to do that kind of traveling and separate from their families to go do this kind of work?
Well, it was unusual, but these women were very unusual women. I mean, it was a seminary. They were led by God. And this is what they wanted to do. They devoted themselves to religious education, and also they wanted to go out after education. And they came to Western. Keep in mind, they came to Western to learn about education and also about religion and about the tools for how to be a missionary. And so when they left Western, they wanted to go and put those tools into practice. And so what better way to leave the United States and go all around the world? And some of them would leave with their husbands. Some of them were single women. They would travel. And I think it was very gutsy, but I think they just relied on God to lead them around the world and do this. So, yeah, I think it was very gutsy.
I'm talking with Jackie Johnson. She's author of Western College for Women, the campus history series from the Arcadia Books. You can call your questions in at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. Well, it changed its name from a seminary to the Western College for Women. When did that happen?
Well, that happened after Helen Peabody retired. That happened when the arrival of Lila McKee in 1894, they changed their name from the seminary to the college.
And what was different then? Why? What did the school change at all? Was its purpose different?
Well, the school did change somewhat. The focus was not so much on the religious practices anymore. They wanted to practice coursework that would lead to a Bachelor of Arts degree. Until that time, the curriculum, well, they always had a rigorous curriculum. So some of the courses they taught were really rigorous, like astronomy, physics, chemistry. I mean, so they wanted to focus more on obtaining Bachelor of Arts degree for the students.
I was interested to read there's also some beekeeping connection related to the seminary or to the school as well.
Yes, there is.
Can you tell us about that?
The connection, I'm sorry.
Yes, the beekeeping connection.
Well, no, now in all reality, he was not a member or a faculty member, so he was not connected with Western College. He rented his house, but he wasn't a Western College faculty member, nor was he a student. So he did not have connections
to
Western
College. So just happened to be there. You know, I have to admit, I'm a Miami graduate, and Western,
wow, okay.
Western is a part now of Miami University. That happened in 1974, I believe. How did that come about?
Western merged with Miami in 1974. Yes, it did.
And why did that happen?
Well, it happened because Western experienced financial difficulties, and Miami University, President Shriver, Phil Shriver was the president at that time. He contacted the president of Western, and they consulted along with the board of trustees from both colleges and universities, and the best decision was for them to merge. So instead of us saying that Western closed, I like to say that Western merged with Miami University in 1974.
The relationship to Miami was there always in some regard. I think that you have a picture of the Beta Theta Pi sorority, or was it fraternity, one of them, and that they were founded at Miami, yet there were roses or something on Western's campus. But
yeah, you're referring to Lila McKee.
Yes, tell me
Lila
about
McKee
that.
She was the president. Well, she was the president of Western, and she was contacted by the president of Miami University, and she helped to name their symbol, which was the Beta Rose. So that's how she was connected to that.
And they did
a national symbol.
They did try to
for the fraternity.
They did try to work together somewhat. I mean, what was the relationship? When was Miami there when Western started?
Well, Western was founded in 1854 and began classes in 1855, and Miami was founded in 1809. So yes, Miami was there, very much so. The relationship has always been a friendly relationship. I've been the archivist since 2005 of the Western College Memorial Archives, and I have never read any of the documents that would lead me to the conclusion that Miami and Western did not have a friendly relationship. So I have no information about an unfriendly relationship, of course.
I'm talking with Jackie Johnson. She's the author of Western College for Women. If you have a question or a comment, or maybe if you went to Western, let us know. 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. One of the things I remember as a Miami student was if I really wanted to go, Miami's known as being a beautiful campus, but if I really wanted to go somewhere beautiful, I'd go to Western. And I was interested to read in the book about how the bridges changed over the years. Started out as wooden bridges, and now they're the beautiful stonework bridges. How did that all come about?
Well, you're talking about the bridges that were built by Cephas Burns. When Dr. Boyd became the president, he arrived at Western College and looked at the campus. And I should say that Western's campus is known for its beautiful rolling hills. And he discovered the bridges, and they were quite rickety. And so he searched through the community, and I think he probably heard about Cephas Burns, who was a stonemason at the time in Oxford. Mm-hmm. And he heard about the beautiful work that he'd done, because Cephas Burns did help with building the chapel, Coomber Chapel, on the campus of Western College. And so he enlisted Cephas Burns and asked him if he would build the stone bridges. Because at that time, if you see in the book, I have a picture of some of the bridges. They were quite rickety and unsafe for the students to walk on. So Mr. Cephas Burns was hired to build those bridges.
And I have to say, they are quite beautiful. Not only are they less rickety.
They're quite beautiful.
I remember sitting...
And sturdy, I should say.
I was going to say, I remember sitting on them many a day and just taking a look around and enjoying the beauty of the Western campus. You mentioned Coomler Chapel. Also, it's still standing, and people can take a look at that as well. Is that right?
Yes, Coomer Chapel was built in 1918. It's still standing. It's used for a lot of weddings, a lot of wedding ceremonies. Miami uses it along with Western. The College Alumni Association uses it for different events. So, yeah, it's still standing. It's a beautiful chapel.
I remember vaguely hearing some ghost stories about the Coomer Chapel. Are those still active? Something about the bells would ring or the organ would play on its own or something like that?
Well, I'm not sure about the ghost stories. I know there are many ghost stories about Helen Peabody, but I'm not sure about ghost stories in Coomer.
Well, what are the ghost stories about Helen Peabody?
I'm learning something new from you now as an alumni, a Miami alum, so maybe you can give me some information.
Oh, no,
that was back in the 80s.
Tell me about...
Okay.
Tell me about Peabody. You said Helen Peabody, there are some ghost stories. What are those?
Well, you know, I try not to focus too much on the ghost stories, but, Helen Peabody was such a prolific figure in women's education. And there's always been a tale or two about her being a ghost, but I do not believe that Helen Peabody haunts the halls of Peabody Hall. I think that she did so much for female education, and she was such a dignified woman, and she was such a religious woman. I just think that her reputation should be, saved, and that the fact that people talk about her being a ghost, that's just like a myth, or that's just a little tale or two. But I've never heard anything that really leads me to believe that she's haunting the halls of Peabody.
All right.
Or that the Coomer Chapel is being haunted.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, Ed's calling from Oxford. Hi, Ed. Ed, are you there? Is Ed there? Well, Ed, one more chance. Ed seems not to be there. He apparently was calling to compliment you on your book. So we appreciate that call from Ed, even though he doesn't seem to be with us anymore. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, Ed. Thank you. Appreciate that.
The campus itself, what else is still standing? Are most of the buildings still there, or many been taken down?
Most of the buildings are still on the Western campus. Boyd Hall, there's McKee Hall, there's Peabody Hall, there's Coomer Chapel. Of course, we have the new Freedom Summer Memorial that was constructed in 2000. So most of the buildings are still on the campus. Yes, Clawson Hall. In my memory, I'm just going down Western Drive and thinking about the buildings that are still in existence. There's the Western Lodge.
So many of them are.
It's not a building, but there's a beautiful duck pond, which I'm sure you remember.
I do remember that. I used to hang out there, too. Sally's calling from Loveland. Hi, Sally. What's your question?
Hi, I'm a graduate of Western College, proud graduate, and actually was married in Coomer Chapel there. And I would just like the author to talk a little bit more about two things that were very important to us in the late 60s, and that was the international students, the great number of international students that Western had, and then a little more detail. I wasn't there at the time, but a little more detail about the Freedom Summer training that took place.
Jackie, can you talk about that? It's been a celebration this past month of June about the Freedom Summer. Tell us about it.
Well, Freedom Summer and Western College and International Focus, I would say they kind of go together. Dr. Herrick Young was the president in 1964 when Freedom Summer occurred at Western College for Women, and he had a reputation already for being a person who had a lot of experience in international education. And when Western College was contacted by SNCC and other civil rights organizations, they asked him, along with the Board of Trustees of Western College, if they could host the training session, because another college, Berea College in Kentucky, had said no to the training sessions. At first they said yes, they could have them, and then they changed their minds about that because of the safety of the students and volunteers. And so Dr. Herrick Young agreed, along with the Board of Trustees, and allowed them to have the training sessions, which lasted for 2 weeks. And so that's an important part of Western's history, Freedom Summer. When it comes to international education, Dr. Young, once again, was very important in that because he really revived the international studies program at Western.
Jackie, we're out of time. Thank you so much. If we want to know more, they're going to have to check out the book. We appreciate you joining us today. My guest has been the author of Western College for Women, Jacqueline Johnson. She's the Western College archivist at Miami University. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds, Jim Nolan, and Grace Caudry. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.